Welcome to Season 3 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Taylor Vollen, your calf roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Tie Down Breakdown. It's Taylor Vollen. So I have some good news and some sad news for you guys today. This will actually be my last episode with you guys. Yes, I know you're probably devastated. I'm just teasing, of course. But the good news is I'm leaving you in very, very capable hands. If you've been reading the articles we've been writing on calfroping.com over the last 9 months or so, you might recognize Hannah Wheeler's name. Hannah is the lady behind all the content you see over here, from articles, results trackers, social media, you name it. She's been doing a fantastic job with this brand. So I am passing the torch, the Tie Down Breakdown torch, over to her so that I can go back over to the Team Rope and Journal side of things. I have loved being the host of the Tie Down Breakdown. I wish I would have brought you guys more episodes. But like I said, you guys are in great hands with Hannah, and I'm so excited to see where she takes this podcast. I wanted to bring her on an episode to introduce you guys to her and let you hear who she is, where she comes from, and what her plans are with the Tie Down Breakdown. I guess I'll just start off by kind of introducing you. I don't know. I feel like anybody that has been following calfroping.com for what? Since August? How many months is that now?
Yeah. Beginning of September.
Beginning of September. Would know that we've had a new voice over there. Hannah, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
For anybody that is listening to this, not that anybody cares, this getting to this point of the conversation has taken us, what, 5 minutes, 6 minutes?
At least.
Because both of us are a little awkward. So, but Hannah, like I said, for those of you maybe that are new here, I don't know, no offense, Hannah, we haven't really talked about you on the podcast because the podcast, poor thing, has been, I've been struggling. But Hannah is from Missouri. She's been manning calfroping.com since September. We love her. Me and Hannah, we've done some internships beforehand, so I knew her prior to her joining the team, and I was thrilled. But I guess kind of just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you landed here at the Equine Network.
Yeah, so like you said, I'm from Southwest Missouri, originally Osceola specifically. So I grew up riding horses, rodeoing, junior rodeoing, high school rodeoing. But my real roots come from, I guess, the ag side of things, more the ag side of things. I grew up, my grandparents owned a sale barn, and then now my parents run a sale barn themselves. So more on the cattle side of things. My parents run a cow-calf operation. And so that's kind of where my real roots are. But like I said, been rodeoing since I was little bitty, and then kind of took a step back to go to college. I went to Missouri State University, where I majored in agriculture business with a minor in sales and marketing. I didn't see myself on the journalism side of things, but here I am. I guess my real talents are in the social media side. So, but it's been fun. I've loved everything with the Equine Network so far.
So marketing, it's funny that you say social media is your like specialty, because you have brought Chelsea, I feel like, is the OG when it comes to rodeo coverage, social media. Like, she is the queen of that. And Casey's fantastic. But you, I feel like, have offered a wealth of knowledge. I know I've used it since you've joined. I've reached out to you over stuff. But you said you never really thought journalism. Why is that?
I just didn't really have a whole lot of experience, I guess. Like I said, I started my career in social media, and I've always kind of enjoyed writing. It was something that I had a really great English teacher in high school that taught like our AP classes. And she kind of took a liking to me and was hard on me, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed everything about her classes. And my one communications class that I took in college, I enjoyed it too. But like I said, I really took a liking to the social media digital side of things. And I didn't see myself as a journalist, and now here I am, and all I want to do is write. So,
yeah. Also, why Missouri State? Why not Mizzou?
I think when you're from Missouri, it's like you either hate Mizzou or you love Mizzou. And there have been three or four people that went to Mizzou out of my family, and they were like diehards. And I'm like, I'm not going to be a diehard for a college. Can't imagine. Not a big college sports girl or anything. So, yeah, I just – Missouri State was close. I had to put myself through college, and so I worked really hard on a lot of scholarships so that I didn't come out with a lot of student debt. And Missouri State was just an hour from home, and my parents told me that if I would pay for my own college, they would provide me – they had a rental house, and they provided me with a place to live while I was in college, and I commuted back and forth. And so I was still able to amateur rodeo a little bit on the side because I was still technically living at home, but – just down the road in one of the rental places. So I guess because it was cheap, that was a really long way of answering your question, but it was cheaper to go. And I, looking back, I think that I probably would have enjoyed my college experience a little bit more had I went to a bigger university. But I love Missouri State's ag department. Was really small, and I loved it. So
yeah, I honestly, I just asked that because I realized I'd never asked you that. And having, I lived in Missouri for what, 2 or 3 years while Roy was coaching. So not about me at all. But, and I have to say, I didn't realize that you weren't into college sports or anything like that. Because I am a diehard for my Mississippi State Bulldogs, which is funny that I had to leave the state, my state of California, to get a cheaper education, but we might cut that. Anyway, you're going to find some of the guys too, I've noticed, I've talked with, like they pretty ride or die for their college sports, even though they're radio guys. But
yeah, I know a lot of people that are big college sports fans. In fact, Tyler's a really big college sports fan. Is he? But I don't know. I'm a big Chiefs fan, but that's about it.
You have to be.
I have to be. That and the Cardinals, die hard.
There, that was really kind of comical when we were at, where were we?
It was a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, Royal Crown, and we were the only Chiefs fans in that sports restaurant, yeah, wherever the heck we were. Everybody else was, yeah, that was something. But anyways, so I think your professional journey is super neat. Like I said earlier, you and I got to do some internships together when we were little college babies, and that's actually how we met, obviously. But walk me through how you landed in this position. So talk about your past. Talk a little bit about maybe the realization that you wanted to do the journalism side of things, I guess.
So everything kind of kicked off for me. Like you said, we worked a couple internships together with two completely different organizations, which was fun. If you know Taylor and I from either those internships, no, you don't. we're different people now. But no, I got another internship. I was really passionate about internships while in college, and I'm glad that I was, because I think that it really helped shape my very young career so far. But my last internship before I landed my first job was at Rock and Roll Denim and Panhandle Slim. So Westmore Manufacturing, and I took a social media internship with them. It was just like a social media marketing internship, and they required me to be in Fort Worth, and so my parents helped me and bought a camper, and I moved to Pilot Point. I lived with Sharon Hall. I kept my barrel horse there at her house and lived with her for, I don't know, 6 months or so while I was doing that internship, and then after Vegas that year would have been 2021, after the NFR that year, they offered me a job, and I decided to stay. So I figured that I should get out of Sharon's backyard and out of a camper and actually get an apartment. So I guess that was when I officially moved to Fort Worth and got an apartment and lived down there. And I was with Rock and Roll for almost 2 years. And that's where I would say I really, like, I found my passions and my drive for the Western industry. Obviously, I've been in it my whole life, but I think that's where I found, you know, the roots of it all. I was their social media manager, and then I also helped Tracy Austin Ivy, which she was their endorsee coordinator, and she gave me the youth team, which was so much fun. I'm still connected with a bunch of the kids that we helped on the youth team there, and then I also took over their influencer program, which was a lot of fun to build. That was probably one of my favorite parts about working in social media is getting to work with creators, which I guess now Taylor and I are technically the creators, but just behind a brand name, which is wild to think of. But and then after I was itching to come home. My boyfriend at the time was, he lived in Louisiana. He was shoeing horses on the racetrack whenever I was living in Fort Worth. And then he decided to move home because he had a full book of clients at home. And I was like, okay, well, now he's not 3 hours away anymore. So I kind of want to go home. And my grandparents were getting older. And so I ended up taking a job with Bass Pro Corporate, Bass Pro and Cabela's, as a social media specialist for them. So I was there for, again, another almost 2 years working for Bass Pro. And I loved the social media side of things, but I hated everything about being outside of the Western industry. I'm not a girl built for the outdoors. I'm not Hannah's vibe. If I had to put bug spray on, I'm not for it, honestly. So I was itching to get back in the Western world, and this job came available, and I've loved it ever since. So
when did you realize that social media was kind of your thing?
I would say early on, whenever we did that event internship for the Cowboy Channel, I actually did my first event internship for them back whenever it was still RFD, my senior year of high school. And so my mom took me down there, like that's how much of a baby I was, but my mom took me down there to that internship, and I ended up working for them until the last year we worked for, 2020? Yeah. 2020. And so that's kind of, I think, whenever I found my passion for it, they just would hand us the passwords to stuff. And they're like, here you go, run these really large brands. And I think that it's really scary and exhilarating at the same time. And that's, I think that's kind of where it started. And then it's just grown from there.
You know, I ask you a lot about social media because it's kind of crazy. I feel like that internship for me was also, I was a student intern at my college for the College of Ag and Life Sciences, and part of what I was doing with social media. But that was the first time, like you said, just being handed the passwords to this, I mean, I don't know, just this huge company, and them just being like, here, go make stuff, was kind of the first time that I also realized, like, oh, this is like a legit avenue of a whole other thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is a legit thing. And it's now, like, I feel like we're seeing it so much in the Western industry, what a major difference social media makes for everybody. But
I think we were really on the starting end of things. Yeah. Like, it wasn't common to work in social media whenever, at least have a corporate job in social media whenever we got started. And now it's very, very common.
Also, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like when there was one time that I checked in on you after you got the full-time position with Panhandle, and you had just switched over to the influencer side of things, and you weren't, wouldn't you say that at first you were a little hesitant, like it was kind of out of your wheelhouse, but not really? Or did I make that up? Because that's false.
No, that's definitely right. I was nervous. I was excited about the youth team because I was by far the youngest person on the team there. And so, other than Jenna, she was the graphic designer and we were the same age, but, it was a very, very small team, and I was nervous because I had all these, like, influential people around me who had been in the Western industry forever and ever and ever, and they're, like, rolling their eyes at the fact that we're paying people money who do social media for a living. We're paying them money to promote something that we can just run a Facebook ad for, or like it just didn't make sense, and I didn't know a whole lot about it, and so I don't like to speak on things that I don't know a whole lot about because it makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to make myself sound like an idiot. And so I had to learn a lot. And I'm really good at talking to people. I can talk to a fence post and have a conversation with it. I don't know that that's a strong suit, but it's something that I've always been good at. So I just started having conversations with some of these smaller influencers, which now have, and I still have relationships with a lot of them, but that have grown into large influencers. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like, we worked with, I don't know that any calf ropers on here are going to know, any of them listening are going to know who West Desperado is, but Shaylee Ham, I'd say she's one of the biggest Western creators by far. Okay. And we came out, they had this deal prior to me, but then they came out with a clothing line with Shaylee. And so I learned a lot from her. I really enjoyed the influencers, but the youth team part of things, I really enjoyed that. Watching the kids grow and learn through junior rodeo was so much fun.
For sure. not the junior rodeo or the youth team and stuff, but when you first started here, there were one or two athletes that remembered you as Hannah from Panhandle, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Was that, did you expect that? Like you saw that coming, or was it kind of like, I mean, how did that, I don't know, how did that make you feel, I guess? I feel like that's a weird way to word that, but.
I worked with Tracy on a lot of things. I helped a lot of the endorsees shop. So I don't know that I would expect it just because I had been removed from the Western industry for 2 years. And so I didn't expect these guys to remember me. But I do remember whenever Shad wasn't texting me back one time about an interview. And I text Casey and Casey put us in a group chat. And she was like, Hannah has a really embarrassing video of you, Shad. And it was of him dancing to some TikTok audio in the early, early TikTok days. So he texted me back eventually. He didn't want that posted.
Blackmail from prior jobs. That's awesome. So we've talked a lot about your professional journey and your education and the stuff that maybe some people didn't come to this podcast to hear, but I just want them to know, I don't know, I just think you're so, not to kiss your butt, but I just think you bring such a wealth of knowledge and skill sets to the team and personality that I just love. I mean, there's a reason why I vouched for you when we hired you, but I wanted them to know who they're, you know, who they're trusting to give them news and stuff, but let's talk a little about calf roping. You are marrying a steer wrestler.
I am.
In August, right?
Yep.
Shout out to Tyler.
His head big.
So you spend majority of your time with Bulldoggers. So what has it been like? I guess we could say transitioning to not a new event to you. Like we said, you've been around rodeo your entire life. But maybe an event that you didn't necessarily spend a bunch of time around, you know, like I'm not an expert in the sport by no means, or in the event by no means, but I roped, married to a calf roper now who gives his opinion on everything. But was it kind of, how did you feel taking on a job, kind of being a voice for an event that maybe you didn't feel like you knew like the back of your hand?
I've had a lot to learn, that's for sure. They kind of told me whenever I was talking to Chelsea and Gabby for the first time, they asked me kind of what my thoughts were about taking over a brand that just like needed love. It needed somebody to just kind of take it and run with it, but one that doesn't have like a following, so to speak. And I didn't know that they were talking about calfroping.com at the time. And so I think I probably would have been a little bit nervous jumping in headfirst if I had known that it was, that's all I was going to be doing. I did one of my original writing pieces, my writing samples for them was with Kila Costa. So I obviously knew Marcos, but like I wouldn't say that I knew calf ropers at all. Like besides the ones that I had worked with at Rock and Roll, like I just...
Yeah.
I didn't know a lot about calf roping in general. I didn't know a lot about calf horses. Like, I've had a lot to learn, and I have learned a lot. I do not call myself even remotely close to an expert now because I still learn whenever I talk to guys on the phone. But it was my weakest event for sure. That and rough stock events. My dad team roped growing up, and you're stronger on the rough stock events than any of the rest of us are. But my dad team roped growing up, so I knew team roping pretty good, and obviously the bulldogging, and then barrels, and breakaway. But I didn't know hardly anything about calf roping, and so I have learned a lot whenever it comes to just like fundamentals and things. Tyler calf roped all through high school, so he's been able to help me with like dumb questions that I have, and he rolls his eyes every time. But things I would not feel comfortable asking anybody else. But I've just kind of silently learned from the guys in the background. But I was very, very nervous whenever I first started, that's for sure.
I think though, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you would disagree or agree. I think not being an expert makes us, I don't know, this might be a hot take, almost better at our jobs because we want to know. Like, let's be real here. Who is going to want to cover team roping, like I'm over at the Team Roping Journal most of the time, calf roping, whatever, if you're not interested in it, like you have to want to be in this industry. You know what I mean? You have to love rodeo as a whole. You have to be intrigued by the event if you don't know it. And so I almost feel like it lets us do a better job because we genuinely are wanting to learn more. Like when we're writing things that are like how-to articles and stuff and doing podcasts, like we have genuine questions. You know what I mean? And I feel like that brings
like I said, maybe a hot take, but I feel like it brings an angle to people that maybe is a little new, or maybe someone was scared to ask that question themselves. But agree or disagree?
100%. No, I definitely agree with you. I had a really close mentor. He was actually technically my first boss at Rock and Roll, JD Perry. He does the podcast over at Rock and Roll, so shout out JD. But he was one of my biggest mentors starting out my very, very young career. And he told me the day you stop learning is the day that your career is dead. And a lot of people look at me when I tell them that, and like, and again, I know we're trying to get away from the career talk here, but they look at me and they think that I'm crazy, and they're like, wow, that's harsh. And I'm like, no, but really, like, the day you stop learning is the day that your career is dead. And I think that goes in anything. Like, that goes for these guys rodeoing. It literally goes for anything. The day you stop learning is the day your career is dead. And so I've really tried to abide by that. And just no matter what setting, try to learn a lot about it. Even, I mean, I'm a barrel racer at heart, but, even just going over and watching the Ride TV videos and, you know, those things, like, all of us have something to learn always, and we should just never stop learning.
Right. So. No, I agree 100%. And I feel like that's kind of, I don't know, like you said, something you can apply to life in general. But let's talk a little about Vegas. So, like I said, Panhandle and all of that. You've experienced Vegas. Our internships that we've done, two of them included work in the NFR, and it is a beast in itself. But a little different perspective or experience this year, or 2024, I guess. I think what we do at the Equine Network in Vegas is crazy to some people. Were you kind of surprised by the day-to-day schedule, or kind of just tell us what that experience was like, and maybe, I don't know, what you wish people knew goes on behind the scenes during those, not even 10 days, because we start, what, Sunday or Monday before everything gets going? So we're there for, like, I don't know, there's so much more that goes into it, I guess. So kind of let the listeners know what Vegas looks like for all of us.
It's stressful for sure. Like, we just, our output is insane while we're out there. And Chelsea's probably going to listen to this and roll her eyes at me, but I think that it's probably the most laid back experience that Vegas experience I've had. And I do mean that wholeheartedly, because it's a different kind of workload. The Vegas workload that I was used to every time that I worked out there, the 2 years with Rock and Roll, like, we put on a party every year. And so it was, like, very logistical, but, like, running boxes from hotel rooms to setting things up. Like, I was just on my feet constantly. And then we had three booths at the convention center. And so running back and forth between those for autograph signings. And then my last year, I guess it was 2022, working the finals for Rock and Roll, I was able to get a media credential to take photos in the Thomas and Mack. So that was super cool for my little creator heart. But so even that was a really, really different experience than what this last year was with the Equine Network. Just because we were in the media room, which was the same room that I was in to, you know, set my stuff down to go take pictures. But we're not, you don't leave that seat. Mm-hmm. Like, you leave the seat if you're going to video somebody. And you, like, you walk in the media room ready to work, and you've worked all morning. And you sit down and you've got a calf report out in an hour. And then you've got, maybe another one out. You've got your standings are updated instantaneously. And so it's different. Like, it's more of a mental workload than what I've ever experienced in Vegas. But, and then, like, we found out that Riley, we were sitting down eating dinner at the sushi restaurant, I think, that one night with you and your sister, and we found out Riley crossed the $1 million mark. And so then it's like, oh crap, you're in a panic. Like, screw the sushi. I gotta go write this story before somebody beats me to it. So it's just a different kind of hustle.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I mean, just piggybacking off of what you said, like, our mornings start not crazy or hectic, but we start at 6 a.m. Well, this year I think we started at 7 because of breakfast stuff. But anyways, start at 6 a.m. You're talking what you're going to do. You go back to your room, and it's kind of on you from 7 a.m. to we leave for the Thomas and Mack at what, like 2:30, 3 o'clock. That time is on you. What you get done in there, it's dependent upon yourself. And I think that that's kind of, I don't know. I feel like everybody thinks we're just out socializing with all the athletes. And sometimes we are. And like you said, the press room, you're surrounded by them almost-ish. But I think Vegas is interesting too. So like we said, you started in September. So maybe not the beginning of the pro rodeo season, but September is craziness. I feel like anybody that knows rodeo knows, I mean, that's the end of the year. It's the final countdown. But when you're on this side of things, you see a little bit different of, you see it a little differently because you're hearing guys not knowing if they're going to have enough rodeos left in their rodeo count. Some of them are unofficially in things. Like, it's just, it's total chaos. So like I said, September is crazy and you got to experience that and kind of watch the end of the pro rodeo race, I guess you would say. But Vegas is interesting too when you're in this job because it's those final 10 days watching the culmination of an entire year of results that you've tracked. And I feel like you're seeing that more this year. Like, you're getting to understand, like, I don't even know if I would say that I know many of the team ropers super well yet. I've only been here for 2 years, but it's kind of interesting when you're sitting there and you watch like the 10th round, your world champs get crowned, somebody wins the finals, and you know the hell they've been through that year, or just what have, you know, awesome year they've had. And it's almost like you feel proud for these people that you don't even really know. And I think that that's kind of makes our job in Vegas unique. And like I said, I know that you started in September, so maybe you didn't get to track everything from the get-go. But can you kind of now, we're June of 2025, can you kind of see how Vegas might be a little bit more emotional for you this year?
Oh, for sure. And I think that I'm not close with any of the guys, but I knew Shad before I started in this job. And so I don't know that I was emotional for him winning the all around because I'm not partial to any of the guys. I think that everybody's just a bunch of calf ropers, but, the way that it all happened for him. And then I think that what made me emotional was like, I looked down and Fred Whitfield's calling me and yeah. Chelsea's like, Hannah, Fred Whitfield's calling you. And he called me 3 times and he wanted to walk through, every single possibility of Shad winning the all around. And I actually didn't even have, I wasn't doing the all around tracker. Lillian was doing the all around tracker. And so I didn't know all the details, so I got it from Lillian really quickly. And if Fred Whitfield's calling you, you're not going to tell him that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I went through all of those. So, I mean, just the little things like that, like, I don't think that we're emotionally connected to any of the guys, but it's so cool to watch their journeys throughout the year and write about the horses, like if they've had horse troubles or, you know, whatever the odds and ends things that they've gone through throughout the year. Like, I think that it could make me more emotional this year, but even last year, just having that short little bit of knowledge that I had on each of the guys, like it almost made it a little bit emotional. Yeah. It's fun seeing, you know, round 10, when everybody gets crowned, it's fun seeing them in there crying with their moms and hugging their moms mm-hmm. and kissing all the babies and doing all the things. But
for those of you that don't know what Hannah's talking about too, we, each of us for our respective events, keep a tracker going or a spreadsheet. And we started in May, I think is when I started mine, tracking the top 15. We track circuits, rookies, all of the races that we covered throughout the year. But during Vegas, it is crazy. That spreadsheet will have your draws from the night before, notes on the calves, how much money has been won on the calves or steers, you know, on the team rope side of things, but how much money they've won in the rounds, the average. We have projected world standings that we're doing, projected average winners. I mean, the math that we're doing doesn't make sense for girls who are...
We're all journalists. None of us were good at math.
And, you know, the guys, it's interesting when you've got... I don't know that they necessarily come to us for the stats and the money. I mean, like Fred did to you. But it's kind of funny, round 10, you'll have one or two, at least the guys that are friends with Chelsea will kind of stand over Chelsea and I and kind of, can I see your spreadsheet? And I have to remind them, there's a reason I'm in journalism, not in like accounting or math. Don't trust mine. But it's just, I don't know. It's a lot of work figuring out who's going to win the world and stuff. And so kind of emotional.
I will say, like, there, some of the guys are just so willing to talk and so willing to, you know, talk about anything that's going on throughout the year, their journey, whatever it is. And so I think that I cry at a Hallmark movie. So I think that it's pretty easy for me to cry. So I'll probably tear up, you know, just as I get to know all the guys better and annoy them with, you know, weird videos that I've roast videos that I've made of them, holy airball trend videos, sorry Kincaid. But I think as we get to know, you know, their sense of humors and things better, like not that I'll be attached to them by any means, but just, you know, I've got to watch their journey all year. So I think that I probably might get a little bit emotional this year.
For sure. The holy air ball. That was so funny. I'm sure everybody has seen Calf Roping social media is, I love it. You really have done so great with it. We're back to talking social media, but what are some things thinking of that? Because I think what you've done over there, again, everybody listening to this probably doesn't care. They probably appreciate the run videos, the funny stuff, like seeing that side of things, but they don't see the analytics. Like us watching the numbers go crazy on calf roping after, like you said, like the poor brand just didn't really have any of us to like dedicate the love and time that it needed, as silly as that might sound to somebody out there. But what are some things that you have been proud of that you've done over at calfroping.com? Because I feel like the list for all of us, like me, Chelsea, Casey, Lillian, of what we're proud of you for doing is endless. So I'm curious to hear your perspective or your take.
Thanks for hyping me up. But I think, I don't know, I've grown the Facebook page. I don't even want to say I have, because I mean, it's a combination of all of us. Like someone on the team is shooting video at an event, and then someone's editing it, and then someone's putting a caption together sometimes. Like I think it's literally a team effort. Like all of us are just a team, and I love that aspect about us. But the Facebook has grown a lot, and I've always kind of taken a liking to Facebook, like throughout my professional career. And so I think that it's been fun watching the Facebook, but it's also been a lot of fun. Like before, some of the guys, we like just to thirst trap the guys a little bit. and I wanted the people to know that, I mean, these are actual athletes. And not that you guys didn't do that, because I think that you guys portrayed that in a really awesome way. But I wanted them to know that, you know, these guys are more than something that a lot of girls think are easy on the eyes. So it's, I mean, even just texting the guys for run videos and getting those, you know, crappy iPhone quality videos up so that people know what's going on. Just the news aspect of it has been so much fun. But then it's also fun to make, you know, cool edits of the guys. And if that's making them or their horses look cool or making people look silly, like what I've done to John and Kincaid. But no, it's all of it's just been so much fun. I love creating content. I love creating video content specifically. So
the vibes matter. They might seem silly to some people, but the behind the scenes are fun. Like I think that has been, like you said, it's teamwork. I mean, there's Chelsea, Casey, one of us going somewhere and sending footage. So like, I feel like sometimes I think we're on the same page where it kind of feels weird being like, oh, I did that. I'm so proud of that I did, because you know, somebody else maybe shot it and sent it to you and was like, hey, this is a good video, and tipped you off. But you should also feel proud, because I know there's been a couple of guys that have told you, and I had a couple of guys when we've done like podcasts and stuff say that they really are, at the time, they were really looking forward to where this was going to go, because calf roping really hasn't had anything like this. And I know that you've had a couple of guys that have told you that they think that what you're doing is awesome, or the team, I guess, but I think it's you. I will give you the credit there. But that has to feel good to have. Rodeo guides can be intimidating. I mean, it's just the truth. You know what I mean? And so to have them say that they appreciate having an outlet for their event has to be pretty rewarding.
Oh, for sure. I've talked to Tuff a few times this year, and I guess after his San Antonio win, he had said in there, and I tried really hard to include it in my article because it was so good, but I couldn't. It sounded too boastful on the brand. he said that Roy loved the fact, which I cannot take an ounce of credit for this because I was not here when the brand was started. But he said that Roy loved that it was called calfroping.com and not tiedownroping.com. And so just little things like that. And then Tuff, whenever I talked to him after his Nashville win, like he was so... He's just so appreciative, because I guess because he's been in it for so long, him and Shane are both like some of the first people to step up and help
for sure.
Anytime you need it. And I think it's because they've been, you know, in the thick of it for so long that they see that there hasn't always been a news outlet, you know, just dedicated to calf ropers. And so they're glad to have a place to, you know, showcase their really awesome horses and showcase their careers, because I think that they should be showcased just like everybody else's. Yeah. So
Shane's interesting too, because he's the event director, event rep, whatever you want to call it. and he is so helpful, but he's interesting too. I don't really know him well. Like, I'm not trying to say that I do, but conversations that I've done, I did a podcast with him. He has a little bit of a journalism side too. He loves his college football. He loves LSU. So he loves reporting on that type of stuff is what it sounds like. But then he had the Cowboy Journal. So it's kind of funny. Some of the guys that are more into it than you would think, I guess. But anyways, okay. We're kind of throwing you into this podcast thing. I know we've just rambled for like 45 minutes about ourselves. So thanks to anybody that's still here.
Gosh, I didn't realize it had been that long. Sorry, guys.
Okay, well, like 10 minutes of it was us being awkward trying to get this started. But I know we're kind of just throwing you the fire with this podcast. And this is your first podcast you'll be hosting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are you first one. Nervous? Like how are you feeling? Like I said, we're throwing you to the fire with this.
I don't know that I'm nervous. I think that, like I said earlier, I can talk to a fence post and make it talk back to me. So I'm just real new, like almost a year into the whole, you know, interviewing people thing. I've never had to interview people before. And I think that I've grown a lot since my first one. You know, since my very first interview, I had to like script out all my questions because I'm like, what am I going to talk to these people about? And now that you get to know the guys a little bit more, it's more conversational. And so I think it's going to be good. I'm not as nervous as what I was whenever Chelsea was like, Hannah, you are taking this podcast over and you don't have a choice. So I think it'll be fun. I've got some ideas on things to talk to the guys about. So I think it'll be fun.
I want to hear what are kind of your goals? Because I know I'm really excited for you to take it because I think we can all agree that I did not give it the love that it needed or deserved just with Team Rope and Journal keeps him busy, Chelsea Shaver. What are kind of your hopes for this podcast and goals? I mean, I want to hear your plans, putting you on the spot.
I don't know that I have any set in stone goals, but I really have enjoyed, and something that I didn't think that I would enjoy as much as I have are the horse stories. Mm-hmm. I think that it's something that a lot of the general public, like they, you know, they might know, they know Shad and Lollipop, like, you know, they know some of those great horses, but they don't know some of the other horses that these guys are riding at all these rodeos that, I mean, deserve the love. And so those are really fun to bring to people. You know, the injury stories that come with it and those things. But I also, I want to bring some more profiles. We obviously have that coverage with Equinity this year. And so I'm excited to talk to, not necessarily some of the newer guys, but maybe to some of the guys who, and even some of the guys that have been around for a hot minute, but we don't get to talk to as much. And so I'm excited to talk to those guys and, you know, bring their careers to light a little bit more than maybe what they have been in the past. And then of course your standard news coverage. I'm sure I'll be bringing lots of my little one-off interviews that I have with the guys whenever they win something. So
I think all of those sound like great ideas. I think you're going to do super well with this podcast. And like I said before, anybody, our listeners out there, The Breakdown and CalfRoping.com as a whole are in such good hands with you, Hannah. So I appreciate getting to visit with you this morning-ish.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. Should be fun.
Cool. Well, I know you're getting to shoot Stockton tonight, right? So busy weekend, but thanks again, Hannah. Like I said, it's been so much fun hosting this podcast, and I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to it as much as I have enjoyed producing it. And I hope you guys love Hannah as much as we do. Thanks for listening.